Well, reading in the Sunday Independent at the weekend last, I was taken aback by a headline that said a family in Selbridge unwittingly employed a convicted fraudster by the name of Samantha Cooks as their live-in au pair for 6 months before their child's school alerted them to her true identity and fled. I then went down a little bit of a rabbit hole of finding out a bit of information about what happened here, and the story is quite incredible. The journalist that wrote this article is Mark Tighe, who's a journalist with the Sunday Independent. Joins me on the line now. Mark, welcome to the programme. Where do we start here? I suppose the beginning is probably the best place to start. Where or what or how or why or who? What's going on here?
Thanks. Yeah, well, I suppose this woman, Samantha Cooks, which is her real name, first came to public attention as a fraudster in Ireland in late 2022, when she had been living as quite a prominent up-and-coming writer and, I suppose, what we call a sickfluencer, someone who kind of would use social media to talk about her illness, which she said was Huntington's disease, a degenerative brain condition, you know. And she'd actually won, using the name Carrie Jade Williams, she'd won an international writing award with the Financial Times in 2020, for writing about how she used assistive technology to write. You know, she said she actually lost the power of speech. She had memory loss, but she was using technology to write. And she even claimed to have a deal with Netflix. She was writing scripts for them. So she became quite a prominent writer in Kerry up to 2022. She'd won kind of several scholarships. She'd been invited into Irish theatres to give workshops on writing. But then that all came to a head in late 2022 when she kind of took it a step too far, and she claimed that she was being sued by people who'd rented out her apartment on Airbnb, and she claimed that they were suing her because she was disabled and they didn't want to be in an apartment that was run by a disabled person. That kind of quite incredible story got picked up by News Talk in Ireland and by The Independent in the UK, but people kind of put two and two together and looked back and said, hang on, this woman is telling this fantastic story, incredible story, is actually the same woman who in 2011 was convicted in the UK of being a fraudster who took £1,200 sterling off a couple who were trying to conceive, and she falsely claimed to be working as their surrogate when she was just pocketing the money and had created false references. And that's when she basically disappeared from public view. She left her landlord, hadn't paid rent in over 3 months. She did file a complaint with the Residential Tenancies Board, but she scarped basically from Kenmare and Kerry, and we hadn't seen a sight or sound of her until last month.
Yeah, she also has a conviction here in Ireland, I understand, back in 2019 for, did she make up a fake psychologist report about a man's child?
Yeah, so after she did that runner and she was exposed by internet users on Reddit, and then she became the focus of a Vice story and even a podcast in the UK, blocked and reported, you know, international attention focused on her. Myself and Alan Coyne, both in the Irish Independent, we did a lot of research on her and found, yeah, she'd left kind of a trail of destruction behind her in Ireland using several different pseudonyms. She'd kind of been taken in a number of families in South Dublin, North Wicklow, and then down in Cork, she was acting as a kind of a psychotherapist and preparing assessment reports, child psychology reports on kids who need special needs attention. But she'd no qualifications for these. So in 2019 in Cork, she was convicted of taking some €800 off a gentleman for doing an assessment report on a special needs child. In that court hearing, there was 4 charges of theft against her as well, and they were taken into consideration. So basically, that was, although convictions weren't registered, it was taken that the charges were basically upheld, and they were all in relation to her taking money off parents of children who she'd promised to take them on a trip to Lapland, and that she'd taken some €800 in deposits from them. So those convictions show that she's a track record both in the UK and in Ireland. She was only given a suspended sentence of 14 weeks and 2 days in Cork, so she never served any prison time. But that was under her name, Samantha Cooks. And then she next reappeared as Carrie Jade Williams in Kerry. But then we found out I did a story earlier this month talking about how her claim against her Kerry landlord had been thrown out effectively, and that she'd been ordered to pay him some €4,000 in compensation. And arising from that story, I was contacted by a family in Selbridge that, you know, we just literally just employed this woman for 6 months, and she'd been using the name Sadie Harris.
Yeah, so we had Carrie Jade Williams down in Kerry, we had Samantha Cooks then, which was covered in Cork, and now we have Sadie Harris in Selbridge, which is, you know, all the same woman, just using different pseudonyms. What happened in Selbridge?
And actually in Cork she'd used the name Lucy Fitzwilliam, she wasn't using her real name, Samantha Cooks. In Selbridge, yeah, so she'd gone on this website, mindme.ie, which anyone you look for childcare, which is obviously prohibitively expensive in a lot of cases, would go on. They're looking for au pairs or childminders. She kind of put herself across as this kind of Mary Poppins figure with numerous qualifications in childcare and child psychology again and paediatric first aid, just kind of a wonderful nanny. You know, if you're looking for someone to mind your child, she was the one. So this family put up an ad on mindme.ie. Sadie Harris responded, talking about that she was someone who was born in Bessborough House, had been adopted by an English mother, but had recently come back to Ireland to find her biological mother and biological family. So she'd been living down in Cork and Kerry, but was coming up to Dublin to do further kind of work and education in terms of minding autistic kids. And so was looking to kind of keep her hand in childcare. And so she came across as kind of the perfect candidate for this family, a professional family in Selbridge. They brought her up. She met the kids, got on wonderfully with their kids. They have a five-year-old boy starting junior infants and a two-year-old girl. The mother was just going back to work from her maternity leave. So they got on well and decided, yeah, we'll start in September. And really, they say like that she was wonderful as an au pair, like everything they wanted. The children loved her. You know, if there was a baking goods sale on for the child's school, she'd be baking the goods, have them ready. She was doing arts and crafts. She was doing the jolly phonics with the children. So they'd no complaints about her as an au pair. Like, she'd been everything they kind of wanted. But things came to a head when they had their child's parent-teacher meeting just at the start of February. And then it was that the school principal brought them in and said, look, do you know who this woman is? And she showed them an article that we'd written in the Irish Independent with a photograph of Carrie Jade Williams / Samantha Cooks. And the parents were just aghast. Yeah, like that's Sadie Harris. That's the woman who's back home minding our child at this very moment.
And the couple said that they had no complaints about the care of their children, which you've outlined, but they found it strange that she would never answer a phone call, she'd never have her photograph taken, and when she returned a call, she always rang from a blocked number. So then the principal says, you know, shows the article that you've mentioned there in the Independent, and what happens then? The parents, I'm sure, go into panic mode and think, what are we going to do? How are we going to confront her?
Yeah, so like, as you can imagine, like their number one concern was the safety of their child. Like, to hear that their live-in nanny had, you know, the serial fraudster who, you know, had talked about having mental health issues herself when she was convicted of that of the surrogacy fraud back in 2011 in the UK. They were just, you know, their number one concern was the safety of their children. So they decided, you know, to come back and not confront her immediately, but to call the Gardaí the next day and, you know, have the guards come to their house. So they kind of played a poker face when they came back, but in retrospect, they believe that Sadie Harris, as she was going by, had already kind of become, was already planning her escape, because they think that someone in the same person who tipped off the school maybe had confronted her in the church that she was attending. That's an evangelical church in Selbridge called the Bridge Church, where she'd, you know, become quite an active member of that community, had made a number of friends. But it was someone from that that church that had followed some of the international podcasts about Carrie Jade Does Not Exist by Sue Perkins, and had read one of our articles and seen the photograph and put two and two together and said, oh my God, that's the girl at the school gate who collects those children, you know. So the next morning, the mother was up at 5 a.m., had read up all night, spent all night reading all the various articles and about Samantha Cooks. And when Sadie Harris came in, she had a note with her saying she was going down to Cork. Her mother had been sick. She had to urgently leave. And it was then that they confronted her, saying, look, we know who you are. We know you're Samantha Cooks, she would only respond saying, oh, that's not me, that's my sis, or something. She'd say it again in Kerry when she'd been confronted by people down there about her true identity. At that stage, they made sure that she wasn't taking anything with them. They took her, keys, gate fob, and so on off her. And she basically scarpered then. She went off the public road at 5:30 in the morning, and that's the last they've seen of her. It was only a couple of weeks later that they got a letter from her with a postmark in Cork, where Sadie Harris was saying, you know, you've underpaid me, you've breached the legislation on employing domestic workers, and she was demanding some €7,000 up from them, or else she would take them to court. So that, you know, all that time, so was, and the thing exposed the mother again when she confronted her that morning, said, look, I just want to know, has anything happened with my son? And, you know, she said, no, that definitely not. So that was the number one concern. But 2 weeks later, so this was the shakedown, you know, looking for the €7,000 on threat of going to court. You know, something you can't see her ever doing, because all the fake qualifications and the fake name that she was using, it would be an impossible kind of court case. But this is where the shakedown then happened.
It's like something out of a reality TV show or a movie. Like, you couldn't write this. So then Sadie Harris, or Samantha Cooks, makes her getaway. She leaves the house, and that letter is sent then to the family in Selbridge. Is there anything else then that, do they hear from her again?
No, there's been nothing since. So they contacted me on foot of the residential tenancy board story that I did, and you know they're very good to kind of talk me through this. And they wanted to highlight this, that how this had happened, to warn others. You know, like, they felt they could have done more, obviously, kind of to check, and in hindsight, to check references, the fake references that she'd provided. She talked about having worked in LA for 7 years and having a non-disclosure agreement, so that's why she couldn't, you know, identify the family or have a reference directly from the family. But yeah, in retrospect, there were the kind of red flags raised. You know, as you said, like, she wouldn't be in a photograph. She wouldn't answer phone calls. She was screening her phone calls clearly and ringing back from a withheld number. I did ring that number, the Sadie Harris number. It was still active the morning before we wrote the story. Since then, the phone hasn't been turned on, as far as I can see. And no, she's kind of gone to ground since then. They did report it to the Gardaí. They brought in 3 laptops she left behind. She left behind these 18 kind of self-defense spikes, keyring spikes, you know, kind of the strange thing. There was reams of notes and business plans and various writings. So that they've all been kind of passed on to the Gardaí. But I think, from what I've heard, the Gardaí have very little interest in what she did in Selbridge, because they can't identify what was actually maybe a criminal offence. Even though it would seem, you know, if someone's going around getting access to children on false pretenses, you know, there is clearly deception there. I'll be writing more about this on Sunday. We have spoken to other families who came very close to hiring her, and we're going further into how she deceived people, I suppose, and how she's very creative in creating this persona for herself.
So that's going to be in the Sunday Independent this weekend, and I'd be interested to read more about this, because I've been drawn in since I started reading these articles. I understand, Mark, that Gardaí are investigating complaints made about her down in Kerry, but again, as you say, there's no Garda investigation, it's understood, in Selbridge.
That's correct, yeah. So her landlord, Tim Hourigan, reported her for theft of basically the furniture in the house. When he went in, he found an awful mess in the house, and, you know, tables and chairs and other furniture just gone. So we reported that as, you know, that's theft, alleged theft, to the Gardaí, and that is an ongoing investigation. The Residential Tenancy Board did uphold his complaint against Carrie J / Samantha Cooks, and he, as part of the €4,000 award he got, €1,000 of that was to compensate him for the missing furniture. So, you know, that would seem a very open and shut case. But as you say, yeah, like, there's the litany of deception here, you know, all the way from Dublin, Offaly, Wicklow, Cork and Kerry, and now back up to Kildare. So, you know, this is something that's alarming, I suppose, that, you know, that she has this fascination and interest in children and getting involved in childcare. And clearly there's child protection issues there, where you have someone who's, you know, falsifying their identity, hiding their criminal convictions, and then is being in charge of children. You know, while there's no suggestion that anything untoward happened with children, this is, you know, something that's you'd worry would spiral or, you know, would escalate into something that would be dangerous, you know, where if someone confronts her about her past, you know, things could get bad. So I think there's a big issue here, and, you know, that Tuzla and the Gardaí should really be looking to kind of put an end to this before, you know, further people are deceived.
I know a Garda spokesman said on Garda Síochána, do not comment on the detail of ongoing investigations. Before I let you go, Mark, have we any indication or idea as to where Samantha Cooks is now?
No, the last indication that she was, we have, is that she was in Cork, just from the postmark on the this kind of shakedown letter where she was demanding €7,000. It was postmarked Cork. That was from the end of February. So, you know, she kind of seems to have been based down there in terms of what she's saying to people. But she could be anywhere. She seems to be, you know, I was surprised, actually, given the publicity around what happened in Kerry. I thought she might leave Ireland, go back to the UK. But for whatever reason, she's very much determined to stay in Ireland. So, you know, it would seem that she might have another character, another pseudonym now, and, you know, working on maybe a different kind of persona and looking for a different kind of job. So it's something for people to be aware of, I suppose, that, you know, she's still very much out there and, you know, is just a consummate professional at creating these new identities. Like, what I'm struck by, everyone that I've spoken to that's dealt with her, is that she never misses a beat. You know, when she's telling these stories about her past and, you know, the intricate details, you know, she never hesitates. You know, she never gets caught up or mixed up on facts. Like, she's an amazing kind of Walter Mitty figure in terms of creating these new personas, and something for people just to be aware of, I suppose, that she's out there. And I'd say to people, maybe don't confront her. Do contact the Gardaí if you think that you have identified her. You know, I think she is vulnerable in many ways. You know, that she has talked about her own mental health problems previously. You know, and we're not trying to start a witch hunt here, but it's definitely something people have to be aware of, that this is someone who's very determined to create these new personas and carry on as she has in the past.
Indeed, well said. You can read more online on the Independent website of the article so far, up to date, and we look forward to reading the latest instalment of this in the Sunday Independent this weekend. That's Mark Tighe, who's a journalist with the Independent. Incredible story, and thanks to Mark for joining us on the programme this morning.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, we want to tell you about a couple of events that are happening around the county over the weekend for Easter, and starting off today with the KWWSPCA Easter Egg Hunt and Dog Walk. It's taking place today between 2 and 4 o'clock inside the main entrance to Punchestown Racecourse, and Sally McCaffrey, Honorary Secretary of KWWSPCA, is with me on the line. Sally, thanks for joining us. And it looks as though you may have got the weather for this dog walk. It's a nice morning out there around Kildare.
It's a lovely morning, and it's lovely to see the sunshine, so hopefully it will stay. But if anyone is coming, just warn you that it is very cold out, and especially at Punchestown, where there can be a bit of a wind, so wrap up well.
Indeed. What way is it going to work then today? All are welcome to come out and enjoy the walk?
Yes, everyone's welcome. There's lots of parking at Punchestown, and between 2 and 4 we have an Easter egg hunt. So any of your children that want to come out and have a good run around Punchestown, we don't actually hide the Easter eggs. We hide coloured ribbons in lots of places, and the children have to go out and get a little bit of coloured ribbon, and when they've collected 12 different coloured ribbons, they come back and then they're given their Easter egg. And then at 3 o'clock we have our dog walk, so anyone that wants to come and join in our dog walk, the race course is going to be open, so we'll be walking around the ambulance course, around Punchestown race course, which is very nice, more or less flat walk, and lasts about an hour.
Free parking, free entry. There's going to be Easter eggs for the children, treats for the dogs, and a raffle as well to give some funds.
Yes, also, we do have, obviously, we would like some donations if anyone's willing to give a donation. We also are going to have a fun photo booth where you can get your child or your dog photograph with the Easter Bunny or other props that are there. And we have, we'll have a raffle, as you said. We've got a stall selling products for your dog, if you were looking for a present for your dog. And we have a few children's T-shirts for sale. And then there's a company called TRM Pet Products who deal are pet nutritionists, and they're going to have a stall there giving advice on pet nutrition.
Very good. So lots for everyone to do, particularly the children.
It's good fun because there's a lot of space at Punchestown, and the children seem to love being able to just run wild around it and then getting an Easter egg at the end of their nice walk. And the dog walk, especially today, we'll have, I think it'll be about 8 of our own rescue dogs there who are looking for homes. So if anyone's looking for to adopt one of our dogs or any dog, they can come along and meet up with the rescue dogs. And there'll be quite a few of our past rescue dogs there as well who have been adopted but are coming back to say hello.
So that's between 2 and 4 o'clock today out at Punchestown Racecourse, an Easter egg hunt and a dog walk. Best of luck with that. Sally McCaffrey, Honorary Secretary of the KWWSPCA, and certainly I'm sure a lot of parents and maybe grandparents will be going out there to bring the children out for a run around Punchestown Racecourse between 2 and 4 o'clock today. Also want to let you know, out in Ballymore Eustace, the Ballymore Community Development Association are having a 5 kilometre community run, jog or walk on the Ballymore Eustace Loop. That's Easter Monday at 11 o'clock. Refreshments afterwards in the Ballymore Resource Centre. Registration through Just Run Events, that website there, Just Run Events, and there's a limited number of registrations on that morning, Easter Monday. And down in the south of the county, the Churchtown Castle Mitchell Community Development Association are also having a 5 kilometre family fun run and walk, and Labour Senator Mark Wall is going to tell us a bit about this. Castle Mitchell GAA is the place to be for this one, Mark.
It is, Owen, and thanks very much for allowing us on. It's on Easter Monday, Owen, which is actually April 1st, and it's in aid of our new old school. We've done up the Churchtown Old School, a building that was originally built in 1860 with the help of a grant from government, and we just want to finish that off with some painting and get the doors open on a new facility for the community in Churchtown and Castle Mitchell. So, as you said, we're walking along the Blue Way, the magnificent Blue Way that we have down around the Utah area, starting and finishing at Castle Mitchell GFC, and registration there starting 10 a.m. On Easter Monday, and the official walk and run then will start at 10:30 on that date. So hopefully that we can get as many people and families out, and adults are €10 and families €20 in aid of the new school that we have restored there, and that's a great facility for us in Churchtown, Castle Mitchell.
Good stuff. So that's Easter Monday, registration from 10 o'clock, getting underway at 10:30. I have to ask you, Mark, because I was looking there, Labour spokesperson Marie Sherlock on workers' rights says that a bit of clarity is needed on the status of Good Friday. It seems as though the Labour Party are calling for Good Friday to be made a public holiday. Some people are working, some people aren't.
Yeah, and that's the confusion that is a lot of people. I've had people in already in the clinic. I'm here this morning asking me, are certain banks open? You know, are people working? You know, and that's the clarity that Marie has asked on behalf. We need to see it as a public holiday and allow people to enjoy it. We're way behind the curve on our European neighbours and the amount of bank holidays or public holidays that we have owned. So that's the call that we've put out to clarify it once and for all, and give people, working families, the break that they need over a number of days.
Okay, Labour Senator Mark Wall, thanks for that, for updating us as well on that fun run happening down in Churchtown Castle Mitchell on Easter Monday. A couple of other events then looking into next week. The South Kildare Beekeepers Association are inviting people to their next monthly meeting, which is next Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 7:30 in the Church of Ireland Centre out on the Carlow Road in Athy. And the Dementia, Kildare Dementia Cafe is just letting people know about their facility out on the Kildare Community Development Centre, the Meadow Road in Kildare Town. They meet on the last Thursday of every month at 2:30 up until 4:30. So just some of the events that are happening around Kildare for Easter. Going back to the messages that have come in to us. Good morning, Owen. Would you please wish a very happy birthday to my wife, Trish Curry, who celebrates her birthday birthday on Sunday, and that comes in with lots of love from her husband Tommy. So Trish Corrie, happy birthday to you, celebrating on Sunday, and happy Friday, Owen, and all the staff. Enjoy your Easter weekend. It comes in from your number one fan, I'm told, Martina McHugh, out in Baltinglass. We don't have fans, Martina, just friends, but thanks to you for sending in that message. Lots more coming up. We'll be bringing you some Easter blessings from Bishop Dennis Nulty and Reverend Pat Story after these.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Also want to give a big shout out and say thanks to Beryl McGuinness in Salins, who got me a lovely Easter egg as well, and to John and Nellie O'Brien from Kilgowan, and to all the listeners that dropped in chocolate to the KFM studios over the last week or so. You shouldn't have, but also you probably should have. No money messing, but thanks a mil for that. They were absolutely gorgeous, and we're all scoffing our faces here looking forward to the Easter weekend and all the chocolate. But it's also a very religious time, and we got our Easter blessings from the bishops, both Church of Ireland and Catholic. And we'll hear from Reverend Pat Story in a moment. But first, here's Bishop Dennis Nulty, Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin.
I love the refrain that carries us through these past Triduum days. Christ was humbler yet, even to accepting death, death on a cross, but God raised him high. There's a sense of the refrain building up each day, Good Friday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, into the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday. Everything is there in those few words, and Easter is the greatest celebration in the cycle of our church. We make a lot of Lent, I think maybe to the neglect of Easter. The Triduum allows us to walk with Jesus in his pain and desolation, bringing us many places. A procession with palms, to an upper room, to a garden, to a hill like no other hill, and then to a tomb with that feeling that God is absent. And yet we know God is never absent. He's always with us, holding us, carrying us, raising us up on high. May the hope of the new beginnings that Easter promises be with you and your loved one this Easter. God bless. Bishop Dennis.
Bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin, Bishop Dennis Nulty there with his Easter message. And here's Reverend Patricia Story, Church of Ireland Bishop for Kildare and Meath.
Is there anyone left in the country that isn't desperate for hope right now? Our television screens are full of the horror of war, whether it's Ukraine or the terrible news of children starving and hostages languishing in Gaza. We could be forgiven for losing hope. And without Easter, that might be where we would stay. But if anyone knew torment and torture, it was Jesus. We know that he walks with every soul that's suffering because he knew suffering like no other. Yet if Holy Week was all we had, our hope would be forlorn. But of course it isn't. This week would be a terrible burden to remember every year if it weren't for the Sunday that is coming. Jesus endured so much, but it was for a purpose. When he burst out of the tomb, surprising Mary by looking like the gardener, I must admit I love that bit, he reminds us all that in all that he endured, he bore it for us. Easter Day reminds us of that irreplaceable magical gift of the forgiveness of sins, because we all mess up, even bishops, or maybe especially bishops. Think of where you need hope. Is it the forgiveness of God for words you wish you hadn't said or actions that you wish you never took? Are you tied today to regret and guilt? Absolutely not. The Easter message of rising from the dead is for you. Your words, your deeds, your sins can be forgiven, lifted off. You can be free because Easter means fresh starts. Are you struggling with illness or sometimes even worse, the illness of someone you love? Do you feel alone and that it's just too much to bear? Again, Easter means that you don't walk through this alone. He is here with hands that know what it is to suffer. He will hold the pain you fling in his direction, and he will be a close companion. I love Easter. Even the soil is changing, coming alive, bringing the vibrancy of crocuses and daffodils. So if we lift our heads, no matter what is heavy on our shoulders, we will see signs of hope. Sunday always comes after Friday. Resurrection always comes after crucifixion. That's the way it was meant to be. So today, when the news gets you down and you feel powerless or ashamed or worse, untouched by it all, there's a God who shelters in the storm with those who are in the Good Friday hurricane. Come Sunday, he is risen. Have a very happy Easter.
Yeah, that is Reverend Patricia Story, Church of Ireland Bishop for Kildare and Meath, with her Easter blessing. And thanks to Patricia Story and to Bishop Dennis Nolte for sending us through those blessings.